You have your Bibles, join me in Luke chapter 2. While you're finding that, we're blessed to have one of our missionary families back with us today, Danny and Rachel Foss and a bunch of other people with five children all growing up. And Rachel, of course, was here on staff for a while in the college. She is the sister of Pastor Boyle, and Brother Boyle's mother is here. So, a special Christmas time. I'm sorry we didn't have snow for you when you got here. I know you're disappointed with that, but I can't do anything about it. But they have some cards, an updated prayer card, so he's got a bunch of them. If you find them, why don't you all stand? That way they know who you are. I'm pointing that way, but all the kids will stand up. All right, great. God bless you. So good to see you all here, and they just got here, too. I mean, just this week. So they were in Serbia a few days ago. Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The last verse is sort of our emphasis of the message today, where the angel said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They said, Don't be afraid. This is a great day. This is a joyful day. And you might think, well, everything in the world from then on is going to be perfect. But it was a promise of a Savior who came to a rebellious world, an evil world in many cases, to bring hope to people. But all the hope and peace that could be brought to people did not manifest itself throughout all the world. From that time, there have been wars and there have been all kinds of loneliness and tragedy and difficulty. At times people say, well, if there's a God, why all these evil things are happening? But there is peace when you know Christ as your Savior. In the midst of a troubled world, you can find joy. And someday this world will all be changed. Someday when He comes again, He will bring peace upon the earth. But there are difficulties and there are disappointments and there are, and at Christmas time, surprisingly enough, a time of sadness. For some people, they face disappointments. For some people, it's their first time without a spouse. For some, they're in a assisted living or a nursing home, and others in a hospital, some in prison, some going through a tragedy in their home or an illness that they're facing. You know, it's not all peace and joy right now here on this earth. In 1963, in November, John F. Kennedy was assassinated. A couple of weeks after that, I contracted pneumonia at 10 years of age. And I ended up in the hospital. So I'd had it for a while before they realized what was wrong. I ended up in the hospital and double pneumonia, both lungs filled with fluid, and my body stopped fighting the infection, and it did not look good. And somehow I made it through that. The Lord had other purposes, and of course I wasn't saved, and so thankful that the Lord spared me that I could be alive to get saved. But that was an interesting Christmas, because I was in the hospital recovering. And I was on the mend over Christmas. And I remember two things that I got for Christmas. To this day, I don't remember a lot of gifts that I got. I remember two things. One was a transistor radio, handheld radio, made in Japan. Transistorized radio. That was like a new thing. The other thing was they have these black boots. They call them motorcycle boots. I don't know if you remember those. And, you know, I got both of those things for that Christmas. It's celebrated in the hospital. So I guess it was bittersweet. It's unfortunate I was in the hospital, but it was a special time. So you may have some special times and memories, and there may be, you know, your childhood and having children, opening presents. Those are precious times. What a blessing to be able to do that. But that's only for a window of time. The kids grow up and get older, and sometimes you get children, grandparents, and sometimes they move all over the world, places like Japan and Serbia, and, you know, and it's difficult at Christmas time to celebrate some of those things because you're so far away. So it's not all happiness, joy, and peace. And as a matter of fact, there are difficulties and trials here on this earth that we have to recognize, that we have to deal with. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 and verse 39 tells us that in the midst of a storm, Jesus rebuked the wind and he said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. We know he has the ability to bring peace in the midst of a storm. So in the midst of trials and difficulties and anguish, there can be peace because he can give peace. Though it is not worldwide, though everyone doesn't experience it, though there are troublous times in this world, he can bring peace. Jeremiah the prophet spoke about the time where trouble was coming and they were going to be taken away into captivity. And he said, people are crying for peace, peace, but there is no peace. For some people, there is no peace because they don't know the Lord. And this world has not experienced peace until the Lord returns. Some years ago, there was an art gallery that sponsored a contest among artists. And they said, we are going to give a special award to the best painting on peace. And people were rather surprised about the picture that won the prize, because there was a large cliff with water raging and a storm, and people thought, where is peace in that? But if you look closely, you'd see a little bird in a nest in a crevice of the rock and little baby birds under it nestled away. And it was a picture of peace because it was peace in the most severe of storms. He brings that kind of peace. But we do live in a troubled world. Man is born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. You know, if you have children, you know that to be true. It doesn't take long. You don't have to teach them how to do wrong. It's just a matter of days and they're full of trouble. The Bible talks about there will be wars and rumors of wars. Since that time that Jesus came, there have been probably hundreds of wars that have occurred. Battles and so on. We know in the end time there is going to be wars and rumors of wars. That will be one of the indications of the very end time. Jeremiah said to cry for peace, but there is no peace. So there are times in this world that it's trouble. The world hates believers. The world has animosity toward Christianity. That doesn't mean every single person does, but the world at large is opposed to Christianity. It is contrary to Christianity. So in this world, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. But the world hates us because it hated him. So Christianity is diametrically opposed to this world. And we live in that kind of a world. One of the things we have trouble acknowledging is sin. You know, there are a lot of problems occur and that people struggle because of sin in their lives. And they can't blame God. It was their fault. It was their mistake. Jesus said, I'm come to this earth not to send peace, but a sword. What he meant by that is he didn't come to bring war. He came, but because of who he is and righteous and holy, there'll be animosity toward him and toward Christianity as a whole. So we live in a world that's going to get worse and worse. Paul writing to Timothy said, Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Also in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us those end days are going to be like the days of Noah. And it's going to be a wicked world in which we live. So we live in a world filled with violence and hate and war. And I'm not just talking about our city, our state, our country. We're talking about worldwide. This is the world in which we live. It's not all good. There are troublous times. It is not all peace. Jesus came to bring peace, but we have to live in a world where there is no peace around us, but we can have peace in our heart and life. We have to face there is a reality of pain and suffering. The idea of depression is something that has been prominent in the last several years. Some of it's due to sin, abuse of alcohol, drugs, immorality. All that can bring sin in a person's life. I just read a tract of someone from Ohio that had become a Christian. And that's a picture of him, long, straggly hair. I mean, a rugged looking guy. And then there's a picture of him in a suit and tie and clean cut. And the story was he grew up in a home where they went to church, though he was not a Christian. But as he got into teen years, he rebelled. He went his own way. He went in the military. A lot of drinking and drugs, anger, fighting. He came out and he got involved in gangs, joined a motorcycle gang, became a leader of a motorcycle gang. His best friend was murdered by another gang member. And he tells all these horrid stories of things that he faced. And one night the police came with all body armor and came to knock his door down and all had guns in their hands and arrested him, put him in prison. He was facing 30 years, possible 30 years in prison. No bond. Twice he had no bond. But while he was in prison, another prisoner had become a Christian. And he started reading a Bible and gave him a Bible and he just filled his mind with it and became a Christian, got saved. Ultimately, a miraculous thing happened. He ended up getting a bond where he could be free. He went to that church, professed faith in Christ, was baptized. And he came back to ultimately a hearing. And unheard of, the judge gave him 5 years probation. And he was released and had to do community service. And I mean, it was an amazing story. But you see, he found peace in his heart and life because he found Christ. But we live in a troubled world. There are a lot of people who have no peace. So I have great thoughts about Christmas. It's a fun time, a joyous time. There's a lot of good things about it. You know, it's our anniversary. We have a son that was born the 22nd, a daughter born the 1st of December. We were married on the 21st. As you heard, this Wednesday will be our 49th anniversary. We had a snowstorm the night before our wedding. 21 inches of snow in December in Indiana. And you don't get that kind of snow normally, but, you know, it was a big snowstorm. We couldn't even have the rehearsal the night before. A lot of people couldn't come. We had the rehearsal, and then right after that had the wedding. And, you know, it was just a special time. Just my wife and I, you know, a little lake and a trailer-type cottage, and just, you know, that 49 years ago, it's hard to believe time passed so quickly. But that's a great memory. You know, a lot of special things that you can go look back at. But there are also some difficult times, times of depression. And sometimes people face depression, sometimes because of sin, sometimes because of no apparent reason. They're just, sometimes people overwork. Sometimes people have tragedy that they face, the loss of a loved one. Some difficulty. So there is this increase today of trying to treat all those things with some kind of drug. So there's illicit drugs, but there's legal drugs. And there's been an increase. I thought it'd be interesting to read this for you. This came out of the Berkeley Political Review, hardly a conservative paper, but this was 2021, November 7th. Antidepressant use has skyrocketed since 1999. Leading it to become one of the most popular types of pharmaceutical drugs in the U.S., with approximately 1 in 6 Americans on antidepressants. For every dollar the pharmaceutical industry spends on research and development, it spends two on marketing to both doctors and consumers. From 1995 to 2005, the number of drug reps in the U.S. increased from 38,000 to 100,000, about one for every six physicians. So you think about all that's happening in the world, they think, oh, people are sad, they're going through difficulty, we'll give you some medicine. But that doesn't bring lasting peace. I'm not a doctor, I'm not telling you what to take. All I'm saying is peace is found in Christ. There are issues that have to be dealt with medically, and I understand that. But alcohol use, immorality, circumstantial issues, all of those can lead to some kind of depression or difficulty. And I'm not afraid to mention, I know other preachers have been through what you might call a deep depression, anxiety, a difficult time. So dark that it's hard to even explain it. Charles Spurgeon went through deep times of depression and discouragement. But sometimes that happens in life, whether you're burnt out or struggling, those types of things happen. But there is no happy pill to solve that problem. And God does have answers. Sometimes we go through things like that. David experienced tremendous discouragement and depression. Job said, my friends scorn me, mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Psalm 6 and 7, it says, mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Psalm 25 and 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses. Psalm 42 and verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Sometimes there's spiritual exhaustion. David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He faced some unbelievable stresses in his life. And you read through particularly 2 Samuel, and you read about all the accounts of David's life. Boy, he faced some really difficult situations. And sometimes we just get worn out. Sometimes the body can only take so much. I think if you go back 100 years ago, before the automobile was common in people's homes, life was a lot different. I think when you didn't have husband, wife, and children all working a job to support their family, life was different. When you think about all the communications that we had, if somebody took your phone right now, some of you would start shaking. That phone is so important, you got to have it for whatever reason, whether business or pleasure. You know, there are things that have changed that you don't see too many people sit on the front porch drinking sweet tea. It's a different world we live in. And we see pressure upon our society, and some of those things take its toll on our lives. You know, you burn the candle at both ends, and sometimes it catches up to you. What I'm saying is that even in this world, as a Christian, sometimes you face difficulty and negative things and trials and struggles. But there is an answer, and it's found in God. That's where it's found. It's found in the Lord. There can be physical and mental exhaustion. Sometimes there are physical things. It's good to get a checkup, get your blood work done. All those things are important. But we know there are answers that are found in the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, I am the subject of depression so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. And Charles Spurgeon is called the Prince of Preachers. What a man of God. What a tremendous church that he had in England, in London. And yet faced some of those things that are hard to describe. But as I mentioned, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. We can have peace in this world of turmoil. One thing you could do is just give up the evening news. That would help a little bit. And you just keep reading and hearing about all the awful things in the world, how bad everything is. That alone can cause depression. You think, what hope is there? We're going to have a food shortage. We're going to have all these terrible things. We're going to be a subsidiary of China. I mean, all these things are going to happen, and we have no electricity. It's going to be too expensive. They're taking your car. You know, God's still on the throne. He's still in charge. And whatever we're going through, God still has an answer for us. We can be at peace in the midst of a storm. Let me suggest some things that might help us today. First of all, we must trust in God, in His sovereignty, that God is in control. He's on the throne. Isaiah said He's high and lifted up, and as far as we know, He's still there. There's no evidence that He's changed or left. He's still in control. Now, it may be hard to believe when you look at the world out of control, but all these things are going to come together at this end time. And we have to be ready. But right now, He can meet our need. He can console us. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And I can tell you, and I think many of you would say the same thing. Some of the things we thought, or they not just thought, but they were trials in our life, are some of the best things that ever happened to us. One of the worst things that ever happened to me, I got cut from the basketball team at Purdue University. And that changed my life because I went to a Christian college to play basketball, got saved, called to preach, and I'm here. That's the best thing that ever happened. There are things that happen to us that we don't understand at the time, and we might not choose to go through it again. But we also look back at it and say, but I wouldn't change it because I benefited from it. It helped me. So we can, as believers, trust in God, knowing that things work together for good. We know the story of Joseph sold into slavery, and you thought, this is awful. He was mistreated and maligned, and all these things happened. It was unfair. It was not right. And yet Joseph said, but God meant it for good. And some of the things that we see in this world that look bad are not all bad, but God can use them to help us and strengthen us. 1 Peter 1:13 says, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be serious. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'd have to gird up the thoughts of our mind, pull things together and say, here's what I'm going to think about. Here's what I'm going to do. And I put my trust in Him. There can be a divine purpose even for a depression, for trials and difficulty. God can use those things for His glory. First of all, it may help us to help someone else. If somebody came to me and said, you know, I'm going through some depression. Well, I can help you with that. I know what it is. I've been through it. When I was going through this was happening. I wasn't able to breathe. I thought I was going to die. I mean, it was an awful thing that the world looked dark and gloomy. And I called a preacher. I don't even know why I called him. I was just an acquaintance of him. I called him and I'm just blabbering on the phone, telling him what's going on. And after I stopped talking, he said, what you just explained to me, I've been through 3 times. And it was like a weight off of my shoulders. Somebody understood. Somebody knew. And I remind you that God knows. He knows what you're going through. He helped me. Then I've helped others. And you can help others through things that you go through. Sometimes it just humbles us. We probably all use a little bit of humility. We get a little bit proud, think we've got control of everything. We know what we're doing. But sometimes we need to be humble a little bit. And sometimes it's for chastening. And all chastening is not bad. Chastening may be just to purge us and make us better. But when we go through chastening, maybe we've done something wrong or we're not everything we ought to be. And through that chastening process, it refines us. God can use that for our spiritual growth. There are things that it's one step of faith after another. So we take one step of faith and we think, all right, God was with me through that. I can take another step of faith. So all the problems and struggles and trials that we have when everything doesn't go right at maybe for a good purpose. And it may help us to grow in the Lord. When you have some experience in life, then you've got a better understanding of how to live in this world. But the ministry sometimes can bring special cares and sorrows. I'm always amazed when Paul said he went through all the unbelievable things, beaten, dragged through the street, left for dead, in the deep. You know, all these things happen, and he adds to it, and then the care for the church. The care for the people, the church, their problems and their struggles, and trying to help them to grow in grace. They want to help people, and they don't accept your help. It's a great burden. It may be for spiritual warfare. There is a devil. There's a real being. He is active, and he has many that fell with him that are active, trying to discourage and destroy the Christian's testimony. So there is spiritual warfare, and sometimes that brings upon us these problems. It would be good for us to evaluate our spiritual health, and when we have something happen that's negative, it slows us down a little bit. We have to stop and think, all right, now, where am I at with the Lord? Are there some things I need to change? Is there something I need to do? We ought to also examine our physical health. And I think this is just a practical point, that sometimes physical things happen that bring on other problems and mental issues. So being sure that you're in good health is an important step as well. But most importantly, we need to look to God for help. There are times we just don't know what to do, where to go. We don't know what the next step might bring. But all of that can lead us to a tremendous trust in the Lord. You know, I wish that I could always say, all right, God, I know what you want me to do. We're just going to go do it. But there are times, Lord, I don't know if this is you answering or if the devil's telling me this. We first started a Bible college. A thought entered my mind that said, you ought to start a Bible college. And I thought, that's the devil. I've heard that voice before. But it just kept coming back. And God confirmed it. But it was a long period of time, prayer and seeking God. When we go through struggles and trials, it's a good thing that we get on our knees and start seeking God. If everything went perfect and well, we probably wouldn't do that. So it could be a time for us to look to Him. And a heavy heart can have benefits. So that's part of life. Everybody gets sick. Everybody has difficulties and problems. I remember talking to a preacher. He said, I've been the pastor of the church for 10 years and everything has been perfect. Nothing wrong. The next year was like the worst year of his whole life. I mean, if you're saved very long, it's going to come. There'll be difficulty. But it can help us. It can strengthen us. There were a number of steps in the life of Abraham. If you follow the journeys of Abraham, you see the progression in his life. And he just went through one trial after another. But God brought him to a place of such faith that it's hard to believe. We have to keep our focus on God and believe in His promises. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When a person realizes that they need Him and they realize that they're lost, this is the two issues, really, of salvation, of knowing you're a child of God. It's to see God for who He is, that He sent His Son, He paid the penalty for your sin and mine. That's the only means of salvation, through His substitutionary death on the cross. And then see yourself as a sinner undone, unworthy, that there's nothing you can do to inherit eternal life. And then, in a moment of time, you put your trust in Him and what He did on the cross. The Bible says we're justified by faith alone, faith in His finished work at Calvary. That's what brings salvation. That brings a new life. And it brings us peace with God, that we know we're right with Him. We know we're prepared. If we were to die, we're ready to meet the Lord. The rest of the things of this world is not as big a problem. You know, the election didn't go my way. Hell, I'm still saved. I'm still on my way to heaven. You know, that everything that I want for Christmas, I didn't get. That's all right. You're still saved. We're on our way to heaven. Well, I've been in the hospital. I got sick. And it was, he's still on the throne. And we still have that relationship with him. So we can have peace with God and we can have the peace of God. They're two separate things. It says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can have the peace of God to know you're in his will, doing what he wants you to do. But when you're out of his will, there's a bit of a trouble in the mind. It's like you know something's not right. You know you're not doing what you ought to do. And you're troubled by it. When our family got right with the Lord, I know my mother had a lot to do with it, and she was burdened because we weren't happy. And some of you met my parents. You've been here long enough. My father's with the Lord. My mother's in assisted living, listening right now, probably. But I remember we had a long driveway to our house. It was probably 100 yards, 150 yards. We'd sit back in the country. And I could be across the street, you know, 200 yards, and I could hear my mother and sister arguing, yelling at each other. Yeah, I hate to admit it. I could hear my father curse and swear. You know, the pigs get out. That brings the worst in you. I'm telling you. But we weren't going to church. And God began working in our home. My mother said, I want to find something real. I want something that's real. And God brought her to a church where there was something real. I mean, the first time I went, I really thought somebody talked to the preacher about me specifically and things I was doing. It's like he knew everything I was doing. It was wrong. But how did he know I was coming? How did he know that? And I remember they gave an invitation at the end, and it was like, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, it was like gripping your heart. I know I need to do something. I don't know what. And I remember seeing my mother just break down with tears because God was working in her heart and life. And she was so grateful and thankful, just overwhelmed because God brought joy into our home. Just before I got married, I was home. We were sitting at a dinner table and I just started weeping. Now, my family, not emotional at all, at all. If we have family reunion, like somebody come in, haven't seen him for 20 years, that'd be like half an hour. Well, I need to go see Johnny. I haven't seen him for about 20 years. You know, if you're Italian, it's like everybody's slobbering over one another, hugging one another. Our family is different. Just quiet. My wife came to our home for the first time, and she thought something is terribly wrong. I said, well, what was wrong? So they didn't say anything. I said, they never say anything. They were happy. They're not upset at you. And I'm sitting at the table crying. I mean, weeping. My parents were like, what's wrong? I said, I'm just so happy. I can't help it. He can bring peace in the midst of the storm. You could be a biker in prison, and he can bring peace in the midst of the storm. You know, the world gets caught up in all the wrong things. But as a Christian, when you find the Lord, you find something real. And over again, I mean, we're here today because you found something real. You found through the grace of God salvation. It brought peace in your heart. And you can have the peace of God. Knowing that if you died, you're going to heaven to be with the Lord. Remember, one of our missionaries was in Uganda. They were trying to buy a piece of property. And the chief came along and he said, you know, you're going to regret this. And he said, yeah. And he threatened him, threatened his life. And I remember the missionary, Kyle Guyman, he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. And God gave them that property and building. As a Christian, life's a whole different perspective. It's a whole different life. And I go back to visit some of my friends. Every summer we would go back with our family and our children grew up. That's what we did every summer, go back and mooch off our parents, you know, live with them for a while and eat their food. And But they kind of saw how we grew up in the area where, and I remember Sarah saying one time, people in our church have no idea what your life was like or where you grew up. They have no idea what that was like. But I'm so grateful. Aren't you grateful that God in His mercy could save you and take you out of the depths of despair and set your feet on a solid rock? Don't be surprised if you go through some trials. You know, the Lord has the answer. Sometimes there's a purpose in it. And just accept it. And maybe you don't have all the answers. Don't get anxious about it. Just seek God. Just keep seeking the Lord. And as you seek the Lord, that's a good thing. And you're trusting Him. And if you're not saved, you can have peace with God only one way, and that's by realizing you're a lost sinner and putting your faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way. It's not church membership, joining a church, getting baptized, living a good life, giving money. It's none of those things. It's faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have His promise. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. If you've received Him, you have eternal life. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You can be a child of God by putting your faith in Him. It's that simple. Somebody said, well, if it's that simple, why doesn't everybody do it? And my answer to him was, why don't you do it? And the reason people don't do it is because of their sin, their embarrassment, and they don't want to admit they're a lost sinner. And if you're willing to admit that, you can put your faith in Christ and He'll save you and forgive you of your sin. You'll be a new creature in Christ. Let's bow for prayer this morning.